We present the seventh episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, which he's adapted from his novel of the same name, with Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd. Pay Any Price.
Mr. Salmon is coming out to see you, sir. If you'd go back to the waiting room, he'll see you there in a few minutes.
Mr. Randall, isn't it? Do sit down, please.
How is she?
Ah, yes. Well, that's what I came to talk to you about. We'll have to keep her in for a day or two. No, don't get alarmed. I know you promised to stay with her and take her home. She told me all about that. It's going to take some sorting out. I mean, it's all a bit tangled up, if you know what I mean. But we've given her a relaxing drug that means she has to have proper medical supervision.
Well, can I see her before I go?
Well, she's asleep at the moment. It's better not to disturb her. Now, a message or two. Yes, she sends you her love and says not to worry. And she asks if you can bring her pale blue nightie, her dressing gown and bedroom slippers. Oh, and asks if you would check with her assistant at the office that all is okay. And that's it.
I'll come tomorrow with her things.
Good. Do you know the way out? Well, along the passage, then turn right where it says laundry.
But when can I actually see her? Well, will you tell the doctor I want to know when I phone tomorrow? Yes. Yes! Bastards.
Want to speak to Joe Spellman.
Who? Ah, yes, one moment, please.
Can I help you?
I want to speak to Joe Spellman.
White Plains, can I help you?
I want Washington 240-1429.
Have you dialed the number?
Yes.
And what happened?
Someone answered, but I was cut off.
Hold the line, please. I'll try again for you. Would you repeat the number, please?
Washington 240-1429.
I'm sorry, sir. I checked. There's no such number listed. Do you know the name of the party you're calling?
Yes, CIA at Langley.
Let me check it for you. That number is not listed for CIA Langley or their office in downtown Washington. I can give you their general inquiries number at Langley, if that would help.
No, thanks. Thank you for trying.
You're welcome.
Good morning. Would you take a seat? My name's Cavendish. I understand you want to see a special branch officer.
Are you special branch?
Yeah. What can I do for you?
I want to report something odd that's happened.
Is this the material in your statement to WPC Jenkins in the downstairs office?
Yes.
Can you really remember the telephone number, Mr. Randall?
Yes. It was Washington 240-1429.
Do you know if Miss Shaw's ever been in the USA?
Yes, she was a singer and entertainer over there.
When was this?
I don't exactly know. I would guess she came back about 18 months or 2 years ago.
What hospital is she in?
Claunton Road Hospital in Tooting.
The name of the doctor?
Salmon. Mr. Salmon.
Thank you for telling us, Mr. Randall.
Well, will you be looking into it? Checking on it?
I should think that's possible.
Can you let me know what it's all about?
Well, I don't think we could do that. You're not her next of kin or guardian, you see.
Surely, after I've told you this...
Well, let's wait and see, shall we? The number might have been given her as a hoax or something like
but
that.
But in that case, why?
Yeah, we'll look into it carefully, Mr. Randall. Don't worry.
This is Dr. Ansell. Yes? I'm sorry, I'm in a meeting. About 8 o'clock? Okay. I've got a problem, Mr. Boyd. I'm not sure I can cooperate with you anymore.
Can you tell me why?
If I get satisfactory answers to a couple of questions, I'll tell you why I might have to withdraw.
Ask away, then.
Who the hell are you? And why are you interested now when you weren't when I first reported it?
I'm an intelligence officer, Dr. Ansell.
That could mean anything or nothing. It's not an answer.
It's all I can tell you, Doctor, so let me answer the other question. You sent a report, which made its slow progress through the usual channels to my section of the intelligence services. Now, we think you were right to do so. You're obviously concerned as to what has been happening to this man, Walker. Whether he's hallucinating or malingering or is genuinely disturbed. Now, it would help you, and maybe him too, to know the truth. I have been ordered to find out the truth, if I can. I need all the help you can give me.
I hope I'm not making a terrible mistake, Mr. Boyd. Listen to these tape recordings. They are the first two that I did.
How long were you in the army?
4 years and 1 month.
Did you like service life?
It was okay.
What was your rank when you came out?
Corporal.
What were you in?
I don't understand.
Were you signals, transport, or what?
Oh, I was infantry. And when I was promoted, I worked in the depot stores.
How did you get on with the other men?
Okay. It's hard to tell.
Were you glad to be out?
I suppose so.
Why?
I wanted to earn some money.
Do you earn more now?
I haven't got a job yet.
You applied for several jobs. I understand you had all the necessary qualifications, but you didn't get them. Why?
I don't know.
You've been having nightmares. Tell me about them. It's George Walker, isn't it? Just relax, George. Have you ever been hypnotized, George?
No, Doc.
Well, I'm going to relax you so that you can talk more easily. You don't mind that, do you?
No, Doc.
Close your eyes. That's right. Now relax. Good. Just relax. When I count from 10, you're going to be completely relaxed and perfectly comfortable. 10, eyes closed. 9, 8, deeper and deeper. 7, 6, 5, just nod if you can hear me. Good. 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. Can you still hear me? Let's talk about your dreams, George. Just tell me what you can remember. Where did it happen, George? Where was the room?
The road sign said Hamburg. But outside in the country, a big house near the woods.
Who was there?
Captain Ames and Lieutenant Leclerc and Mason and Fox.
Who were the other men?
They were prisoners. Soldiers.
Why were the other two men prisoners?
Because of Mason's girlfriend.
Go on.
She was a kraut. They said she was working for the East Germans and one of them was giving her documents.
What sort of documents?
Orders of battle and NATO sitraps.
What's a sitrap?
Situation report.
Who told you to kill him?
Ames.
What did he say? Tell me what he said.
He called me Mr. Dickens and told me to kill Fox.
And did you?
Yes.
How did you kill him?
With a gun. A Luger.
Why did he call you Mr. Dickens?
That's my name.
But your name's Walker. George Walker.
No, it's Dickens.
Okay. Now I'm going to count up to 10, and when I say 10, you'll be awake and feeling fine. 1, 2, 3, 4, slowly waking. 5, 6, 7, nearly awake now. 8, 9, 10. How do you feel, George?
I feel good. Kind of lighter somehow.
Good. I want you to come back to see me again next week. Friday, same time.
Okay.
Oh, that's fine. Anything else?
This is the next session.
Tell me again, George, what Ames looked like.
Quite tall. Nearly 6 foot. Well built. Strong. Spots on the back of his hands. Pug nose, and he's always got a 5 o'clock shadow. Tough bastard.
Did you ever see him apart from this one place? Was he an officer at your depot?
No more. No more to say.
It's not only Dickens, is it? There's the other one. What do they say to Dickens to find the other man? That's fine. You're coming back. 4, 5, nice and easy. 6, 7, your eyes are opening. 8, 9, 10. Good. Good. You feel okay?
You don't like the Kennedys, do you?
What makes you think that, George?
Think what?
That I don't like the Kennedys.
I don't know what you mean, Doc. Are we finished?
How do you feel?
Okay. But my neck feels kind of stiff.
Move it gently from left to right, then up and down. Is that better?
A bit.
Could you come again tomorrow?
Oh, I'm playing football tomorrow. It is Saturday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes. How about Monday?
Okay. But I'm feeling much better. You're doing me good, Doc.
I'm glad. I'll see you on Monday.
Oh.
Ah, it's not much help to you, Mr. Boyd, but maybe what I'm going to tell you can help.
Mm-hmm.
That man has not only been hypnotized before, but he's been hypnotized many, many times by a professional. He has no realization that he's been hypnotized. And what is more, he has been hypnotized at 2 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, and it's significant, been given a post-hypnotic block. Do you understand what that is?
No.
It means that nobody except the original hypnotist can get into the second level. He has been hypnotized to forget that he's been hypnotized.
No normal psychiatrist would have any need to do that. Mm. It's highly dangerous. It also explains why the poor fellow never got any of the decent jobs he applied for. He has been hypnotized to forget a whole year of his life in the army. So when he has to fill in an application form covering what he's been doing in that 12 months, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. Literally can't do it. This man has been grossly abused, and abused by a highly competent psychiatrist.
Have you any idea why this should be done?
There's the obvious suggestion that he was hypnotized by someone during his army service.
But why?
God knows. Maybe you could hazard a guess better than I can.
Is there any way for you to get to the second level of hypnosis?
Only by luck. Skill can't do it. The key to that level will be some code word. Without that, it's locked in his brain.
What about a pentothal injection?
It would make no difference. He doesn't even know that he was hypnotized at all. I doubt if he would believe it if I told him.
How can you find the code word?
He gave a clue.
Hmm?
He said, "You don't like the Kennedys," or words to that effect. He was fully conscious when he said that. When I asked him what he meant, he didn't know what I was talking about. It had already gone. I suspect that the code word is in that sentence, or is something to do with it.
You'd be guessing.
Exactly. Mm. So is it worth it? Wouldn't it be better to let sleeping dogs lie?
From my point of view, it has to be done.
Even if it could end by doing this man even more damage than has been done already.
Yes.
Don't underestimate even his present condition. He is a deeply disturbed man. There's little I can do for him now that I know about the second level. I could just be opening Pandora's box.
My answer still has to be go ahead and try.
If what we both suspect is true, would this man be able to claim some disability pension?
Oh, no.
Why not?
He wouldn't be able to prove anything.
You mean your evidence would be withheld?
It wouldn't exist. It would be highly classified.
What makes you think it's that important?
Oh, my training, my experience.
And if I refuse?
I can't discuss what would happen if you refused. We should have to make other arrangements.
Sounds ominous. Tell me what you want.
I want enough information to find out who hypnotized him and why.
Nothing more?
Maybe.
It's going to take a lot of sessions, you know. And the odds are against me being successful.
Somebody's going to have to try to do it, and I'd rather it was you.
Why?
You care about him. He's as protected as he can be, and I think you understand my problem, too.
Would you like to come in tomorrow and you can hear all the tapes?
I would. Would you be prepared to sign the Official Secrets Act if it were considered necessary by my people in London?
Under no circumstances. I'm a doctor, not a civil servant. They take it as it is, or they can forget the whole thing.
Oh, let's see how it goes.
Hello, James.
Sir?
How did you make out?
There's something going on. I'm not sure what it is.
This, doctor fellow, Anselm. Do you want him leaned on from about?
Not at the moment. Let's wait and see.
Well, what do you think it's all about?
I think someone's being very naughty.
Who?
The soldiers, is my guess.
What for? Why are they doing it?
God knows. What's the percentage in giving a man nightmares?
Is it worth the time finding out? Is it even our business?
I've got a feeling it is, on both counts.
Why?
Instinct, experience, nothing more.
Okay, do you need any help?
No. It's just a ferreting job. I need to do it myself. In case I miss anything.
Well, take care.
I will.
I checked through George Walker's file at War Office Records.
He'd joined the army in November 1962 and had been demobilized in December 66. At no time had he been posted anywhere overseas, and his unit had never operated in Germany. His service had been exemplary, and he'd never faced even a minor charge. He'd been in hospital for 2 days with blistered feet during his basic infantry training, and had been given light duties for 4 days on one occasion for an abscess on a tooth, which had later been extracted using only local anesthetic. The army computer had printed out the details of 25 commissioned officers named Ames, but none named Leclerc. It was time to see Dr. Ansell again.
I found out roughly where this bloody house is supposed to be.
Great.
It's not Hamburg. It's just outside Hamburg. A place called Harburg. The house is at the edge of a wood, and it's been taken over by the army. You can hear the full description on the tapes. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's enough for you to trace it.
What else?
In the first level of hypnosis, he calls himself Dickens. Now, he's told me quite a lot about Dickens. Dickens is a hoodlum, a heavy for a gang of villains somewhere in London. But while I was trying to get down to the second level, I tried a whole series of words to do with Dickens' characters that might be the code into the second level. Mm-hmm. None of them worked, but for a few moments, he changed completely, and he was talking about being a sergeant in special air services. He was on a firing range somewhere very hot. It sounded more like Africa than England. There might even be a third level of hypnosis, and this worries me stiff. It's the equivalent of digging around with a scalpel in somebody's brain with a Dunlop touring map for a guide. This chap is in a real mess.
Does this mean you have to stop?
I was considering it. So I phoned around a few research institutes where I know people personally to see what they knew about multi-level hypnosis. I tried four different places. Three said it was theoretically possible but had never been done, or they'd never heard of it being done. The other one had not only heard about it, but had a case of two-level hypnosis right now. I asked them to read me some typical extracts from their notes, and what they read me was straight out of a nightmare. I'll be having nightmares myself before long. The patient was going on about a Captain Ames.
Ames.
But this time it was not in Germany, but Dublin.
What was the chap's name?
It wasn't a chap, my friend. It was a woman. 31 years old and runs a theatrical agency. Used to be in showbiz herself. You've probably heard of her. Debbie Shaw.
Wasn't she a dancer or something?
A singer. Was in a touring company that went to the States and various places, putting on shows for American troops.
Why is she in hospital?
From what I can gather, she's got a post-hypnotic leak that's giving her nightmares.
Hmm?
How much do you know about hypnosis?
Virtually nothing.
Well, most people can be hypnotized quite easily. They can be regressed into their childhood, and they can be made to forget what has happened under hypnosis, including the fact that they were hypnotized. This is called post-hypnotic amnesia. It's possible to ensure that the subject doesn't remember either the hypnosis or what happened under hypnosis. That's called a post-hypnotic block. Under certain conditions, a second or two of hypnotic experience can seep through. That's what we call leaking.
And what causes the leaking?
There's some indication that severe stress or certain types of illness can cause a leak, but it's not been scientifically established as yet.
And what actually happens when they leak?
It's hard to explain. It's a bit like the clutch on a car slipping. Yeah, that's not a bad analogy. Take a man who drives to work every day, along the same route, day after day. One day he'll look around, and he won't know where he is. It's all grown so familiar that it doesn't register anymore. When a hypnotic experience leaks, it's a bit like that. For a second or so, you're in the wrong place doing something you know you've never done.
Mm.
Then it goes, and you're back to normal. It's the best I can do. I've never experienced it.
Is it dangerous?
It depends on what you experienced. If it was reasonably normal, then it's maybe disturbing. But if the hypnotic experience was horrific, then you can have real problems.
What kind of problems?
Depending on the character of the person concerned, you could end up with violent aggression or a complete retreat from reality. hiding away from a reality that has become frightening.
Not good.
You're right, my friend. Not good.
On the way back to London, I suddenly remembered reading something in the Joint Intelligence Summary. There was always a section at the end with odds and ends of information from various sources that weren't connected with any particular operation or related to a specific intelligence area. I got it out of my briefcase and skimmed through it. Item 43. Prague. Major Kretsky, KGB. No. Item 44. Johnny Palmer, ex-employee. No. And there it was. Item 45. Information requested on British subject Deborah Shaw. Special branch informant claims she was given special CIA telephone number whilst under hypnosis. Information to SB direct at NSY. NSY is New Scotland Yard. As soon as I could get to a telephone, I dialed special branch liaison.
In the seventh episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, you heard Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd. Dr. Ansell was played by David Hobbs. Corporal George Walker, Richard Hugh. Steve Randall, David Banks. Mr. Salmon, Garrett Green. Cavendish, James Kerry. Mr. Healy, Leslie Heritage. The receptionist, Pauline Siddle. The telephone operator, Carol Boyd. And the policeman, Clive Panto. The serial is directed by Christopher Venning.